RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ian Beckles. Welcome back to In the Trenches. This is my podcast that is primarily football, mostly Buccaneers. Dabble a little there, here and there, some different NFL stuff, maybe a little college, but mostly we talk Buccaneer football. This is my first year doing this in the trenches. I'm going to continue to do it. Everybody seems to enjoy it. I like talking football. When I was on 620 WDAE for all those years, I got a chance to get it all out. And now, you know, I just don't want to talk primarily football on the radio, but this is my podcast where that's it. It's football. If you love football, this is the place to be. That's for sure. So when I started in the trenches at the beginning of this season, I started way back in the preseason. I thought the timing was perfect because, you know, our Buccaneers were on the come up. And our Buccaneers were the sexy pick around the NFL with prognosticators for making the playoffs. I heard, Herm Edwards might have picked the Buccaneers to go to the Super Bowl. I think I heard John Gruden say that Jameis Winston is going to be MVP. Well, those guys are both very far away with their predictions. And I was far away with my expectations about what this Buccaneer football team was going to be. I would have probably said the Buccaneers were going to be 10-6. 11-5 doesn't happen very often in the NFL, period. It's hard to win 10 games. I would have predicted 10-6. I mean, I literally almost went and put some money in Vegas thinking that they were going to go 10-6. I am happy I did not, because that would have made this season even more miserable than it is. And this season is pretty damn miserable. Buccaneer fans, I want to say we deserve better, but this is just par. It's par for the course, man. I mean, I've been a Buccaneer fan since 1990 when I first got here, and we're just not good very often. It's sad. You know, if you eliminate, and you can't eliminate Tony Dungy's years, but without Tony Dungy's years since 1990, there's not a lot of victories. Because when Tony Dungy stepped away, John Gruden came that one year and won. But other than that, he didn't win a whole lot. We definitely didn't win under Sam Weich or Richard Williamson or Ray Perkins. Or we keep going. All right? This is a franchise that's just used to losing. We make fun of the Cleveland Browns, which we should, because they're a laughing stock. But other than the Cleveland Browns, everybody, this may be the next laughing stock of an NFL team, the Buccaneers. We've got the Super Bowl, great, but in between those, after, before, we don't win very often. We don't go to the playoffs that often. You know, Tony Dungy put together a good dozen years or so. I don't even know if it was that long. No, it couldn't have been that long. It had to be from 96 to right about 01. Okay, that was a time where we were legitimate. We were a legitimate football team. When you came and played at one here in the Sombrero or over here at the Raymond James, you knew you were coming into a stadium where you're going to catch it because the Bucs were nice. That was a long time ago. And when I'm looking at seeing what we have out there, I'm just shaking my head because I'm still getting all these questions from Buccaneer fans, and they're legitimate questions. Why can't we win? We're so talented. We have so much talent. Poppycock, because our lines suck. That's where it all starts, everybody. They literally say, if you want to, you want to know the importance of a football field on a football field, start at the football. Stand at the football. If you're strong at the football, you can win any football game. And as you go out, that's when it becomes less important, because your wide receivers are not important if there's no time for the quarterback. Oh, we know that. Your quarterback is not that important when you don't have time to throw the ball. Your DBs are not important when you don't have a pass rush. You know, poor number 29, what's his name? Young kid, Ryan Smith, number 29, young kid. He's out there, and he has to defend three different moves on a wide receiver, and you wonder why he's holding him? The guy, you can't stop a receiver from making three moves. No way. But there's no pass rush out there. Now, number 93, Gerald McCoy, came off the field yesterday. What appears to be a bicep tear, which would be his third. I know he had one in his first couple of years, and he hadn't had one since, but it looks like it's going to be a bicep tear. It looks like his season's going to be over. Now, I have my opinions of Gerald McCoy. I always find myself my whole life leery of people telling me that they're leaders. Just show me you're a leader. You don't have to say nothing. I never heard Derek Brooks say he was a leader. I never heard Warren Sapp say he's a leader. Never heard John Lynch say they were a leader. Never, none of those guys. They just were leaders. So I get very leery of people telling me they're leaders. Now, I've been critical of him before, helping people up off the ground. I had Al Bubba Baker, old school Detroit Lion, on my show last weekend. And I said to him, what do you think about people picking up people off the ground? He goes, are you kidding me? Never. He goes, never. That's the way your mentality should be if you think you're going to be a leader of 11 assassins on a defense. That's what you want, is 11 assassins on your defense. Let me ask you another question. Ray Lewis, is he an assassin? I would say Ray Lewis is an assassin. Let me give you some other names. Yeah, the guy like Brian Urlacher, Hardy Nickerson back in the day, even Howie Long, Reggie White, John Randall. I can keep on going of guys who are attitude and their attitude rubbed off on the other players. Can you imagine Howie Long coming off the field and crying because he was injured? If somebody cries in the locker room, I have more respect for that than somebody crying on the football field. And then everybody has to come and console him during the football game. That becomes very one-sided to make it about me. It's about me. If you're injured, go in the locker room. You're going to cry on the field. You're the defensive leader, allegedly. And you're going to cry on the football field? They don't go together, man. They don't go together to me. And it's getting to the point now where look and see how much they fall off without him. Oh, by the way, they're with him. They're ranked 31st in defense. Oh, let me continue. With him, they're last in the league in sacks. With him, they're last in the league in pressures. Where is there to go? How is he worth it? I want to say he makes $18 million a year. For five sacks? $18 million a year? And I'm telling you, as somebody in the know, the five sacks are not worth the rest of the time in a game where he's getting pushed around and he's out of place. You have no idea how many times the ball goes right where he's supposed to be. I just think he's a selfish football player. And to cry on the field during the game is a selfish move. I don't give a crap what anybody says. That's selfish. It ain't about you. And let's see how the defense reacts to not having him and see if they take a step back. I remember him missing games in the past, and they just looked exactly the same. All you're going to miss is you're going to miss 1.5 plays a game by Gerald McCoy, because that's what he makes. That's what his statistics say. And the other statistics are, we can't stop nobody. We can't stop anybody. And it's hard to evaluate how DeSean Jackson's played this year when Jameis can't get him the damn ball. This is crazy. Is it me, or is every time DeSean Jackson coming out the back, it looks like it's the same play? The ball always hits the same spot, like he's exactly the same off every time he streaks out of there. DeSean Jackson, if Jameis can lay that ball up so he can go get it, DeSean Jackson would have had eight more touchdowns this year. And I don't even know if he wants to run that far anymore, because Jameis can't get him the ball. Can't get it to him. Arm strength has never been Jameis's problem. It shouldn't be a problem, because, I mean, how many other passes did he soar? There's a few plays in Jameis's repertoire that I'm not sure he could ever be great having in his repertoire. And for some reason, he can't get them out. He can't get them out. And I don't know what I think anymore. And you know what's funny? Watching this Buccaneer game yesterday, I was looking around the field, and I realized that as Buccaneer fans, we overestimated what we had. Because if we turn over, like right now, if you look at our football team, we have a lot of good young football players. Well, you don't win with good young football players. You'll win in a couple of years from now. But when you talk about Quan Alexander's and you talk about Beckwith and the DBs in the back that are young, our offensive line, I mean, not so much them. O.J. Howard, all right, this kid, Godwin, he's a good-looking young kid. DeSean Jackson's not that old. Cameron Brate's not that old. The running backs don't really matter. We have a young quarterback. I mean, there's potential to be good maybe 2 years from now. O.J. Howard has all the potential in the world. He's still not a great tight end. He's still not a great tight end yet. In 2 years from now, he might be one of the best in the league. He sure has those tools. But right now, he's still learning the football, learning the game. So maybe we jumped the gun a little bit of when we thought this team was going to be great. Because they're certainly, they're far from being even good. They're far from it. Now, the whole thing with Dirk Koetter and Jameis Winston, Ian Rappaport comes out with a report that I guess there's issues with Jameis Winston and Dirk Koetter. First of all, in order for Ian Rappaport to get that scoop, it's either has to be somebody, and I don't know why Dirk Koetter's people would say that. It doesn't make sense. It would make sense for somebody in Jameis' camp to say it, or it came out in a locker room. Either way, it sucks. Because if Jameis' camp is coming out and saying that we're having issues with Dirk Koetter, that means you're going to be fired real soon. That's fact. Okay? You can't, I'm not sure they win another game this year. You can't go 4-12 and have issues with the quarterback, which is your future. Now, it's either that or somebody from inside the locker room is snitching, and that's even worse. That means you're losing the locker room. You know, from what I hear, you know, Dirk Koetter in the press conferences, which I don't listen to because I don't say a goddamn thing, he's getting a little uptight with the questions that are coming to him. That's the way it happens. That's the way it works. When you're 4-9, nobody's going to throw you candy cane questions. They're going to ask the questions that you don't want to answer. And I don't know what happens at the end of this year. I would bet my house either Koetter or Jason Light go, if not both. One of them's got to go. I don't know if Buccaneer fans want to go into the offseason with no changes. I'm not a big fan of change. I think we'd be better off with Dirk Koetter next year. Maybe Dirk Koetter take a step back, bring an offensive coordinator. I haven't been overly impressed with the play calling from Dirk Koetter. Has anybody been that impressed? You know, every once in a while he'll come up with a wrinkle play that works. Congratulations. The rest of it, it just looks like you're really, drawing, names from a hat or just, picking straws. We have no flow. You know, we have one of the fastest players in the league in DeSean Jackson, and we run one reverse, he gets 20-something yards. Go back to it. Go back to the reverse. Get the dang ball in his hands. You know, you can't have a guy making all the money in the damn world and give him the ball one time on a reverse for 23 yards and attempt to get him the ball. It doesn't work. But I think he ended up the game with one catch, I think it is. And that doesn't make no damn sense. DeSean Jackson, sorry, he had four catches, 41 yards. That's certainly not good enough. Mike Evans, the great Mike Evans, two catches, 25 yards. You kidding me? This is Mike Evans that had almost 100 catches last year. So something's off. Something's wrong. I don't know if these guys from inside that locker room are waiting for this guy to get axed. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. But it's not good. And I'm telling you, I was watching closely. Chris Baker, you're stealing. You're stealing money. Before Gerald McCoy got hurt, there was some plays where I swear to God he was giving 25% effort, getting pushed around the field. And it's like, where is the pride in this team? Where's the pride of getting your ass kicked every single damn week? The Lions aren't a good football team. They're not. The Lions, they can't stop nobody, and we don't do anything. We really don't. That's a Jameis Winston game. 26 for 38, 285 yards. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. It's a Jameis Winston game. That's what he is. And right now, that's not good enough. I don't know why they don't give Peyton Barber the ball more. I don't know why everybody thinks Doug Martin is a wonderful running back. I just don't understand it. Doug Martin, 10 carries, 26 yards, 2.6 a carry. Is that an off game? Because he's averaging 3.2 for the whole year. Peyton Barber, to me, has a lot more juice in his legs. A lot more. And he runs violently. I don't know how long he can do that, but he right now I think Peyton Barber is a better-looking running back. Now, for us to not – we can't stop anything. We can't rush. Like, our running game just looks – I don't know. This, when the ball's being handed off, there's times where I go, wow. Like, there's no movement up front. None at all. And I know we're missing our two best offensive linemen with DeMar Dotson and Ali Marpet, but you heard the next man up thing. Running the ball should be the easiest thing. Pass blocking is a lot harder than running the ball. It's just want to come up with a flat back and you push somebody off the ball. And we can't do it. We can't stop anybody. We can't rush the passer. This Buccaneer team might be the worst pass rushing team I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. I've never seen, I want to say the Bucs have 17 sacks. 17 sacks for the whole year. There's going to be some players in this league have more sacks than the Bucs' whole team. Come on now. I told you I had Al Bubba Baker as my guest this week, an old Lion player. Al Bubba Baker's rookie year, 23 sacks. His second year, 19 sacks. After that, 18 sacks. The Bucs have 17 sacks with three games left. That's as bad as it comes. It really is. If you look back, there's a couple games we had numerous sacks. There's a bunch of games where I'm talking about we couldn't hit the quarterback worth a darn. Baker stealing. McCoy was stealing. Well, we have some great linebackers. That it's just like it's almost like they're going. It's going to waste. It's almost going to waste. Those guys are still out there making plays, all for naught because we can't get off the field. Defensively, we can't get off the field. It doesn't matter if it's 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 18. It always seems like the other team figures out a way to get that dang first down. But we cannot get off the field. And offensively, we haven't done anything consistently all year long. Jameis got baited a couple times. I know that Darius Slay for the Lions really baited him on that sideline pass. That's not a big-time NFL throw. Big-time NFL quarterbacks know not to make that throw. And we're getting to a point now where Jameis should know better. His decision-making should be better at this point, but it's not. It's not. He's always going to be a guy. And somebody asked me the other day, what does gunslinger mean? And I said, listen, and everybody brings up Brett Favre. It's not fair to Brett Favre for you to compare Jameis Winston to Brett Favre because Jameis, at this point, can't hold Brett Favre's jock. When you're losing, you're reckless. When you win, you're a gunslinger. That's the difference. That's the difference. You're always going to take some chances, but you can't do 2-3 bonehead things a game and think you're going to win in this league. We're turning the ball over too damn much. You can't win that way. You can't win. Our defense on the field too much. You can't win. Coaching, I don't know. I just don't see anything all that innovative on our football team. Like, I don't see anything. Like, I watch other teams and I see them doing innovative stunts. They were showing the Baltimore Ravens and they were showing Terrell Suggs and they blitzed a defensive back. And he went against the guard, and Terrell Suggs ran a stunt with the defensive back. And I go, wow, I don't know if I've ever seen that. I don't see the Bucs do anything outside the box. It's like everything just seems vanilla and boring, very boring. Like I don't see anything, you know, to make me think that Dirk Cutter or Mike Smith, you know, are innovators. And listen, maybe I'm blaming the wrong people because – you can't be all that innovative without lines. And we don't push anybody back. When you don't run the football effectively, that changes everybody's game plan. Everybody has to understand this. When you go into a game plan, everybody's planning to be able to run the football. That has to be part of the game plan. You don't want to go into a game going, well, we're probably not going to run the football. That's a long day for everybody. You're going to the game thinking, we're going to run the ball for 4.5 yards a pop. The unfortunate part is the Bucs never do that. So when they can't run the football and they keep on coming in second and eight and second and nine, you're going to lose football games. You really are. And that's what our situation is right now. We just lose a lot of damn football games by doing some inconsistent crap. Not sure where the leadership is. I'm not sure where the head of our head coach is right now. When you talk about great coaches, Tony Dungy, Bill Parcells, Belichick, keep on going down the list, you don't hear of inner strife. You don't hear about it. People have too much respect for them. I'm not sure Dirk Cutter has earned that respect. I'm not quite sure. And from what I'm hearing, from what's coming out of his mouth, you know, I'm not sure he believes he even has that locker room right now. And I just don't know who could be in that locker room to fix it. Like, I'm not sure if there's enough personality in the locker room to fix what they got going, because something's broken in there, that's for sure. And, you know, I remember talking to, you know, Brian Billick back in the day. We used to talk to him, the old Ravens coach, and he said, and I asked him about Ray Lewis, and I said, tell me something about Ray Lewis as a leader. And I've always said the word leadership is overrated, and you don't hear Ray Lewis say the word. He just is. And I said, tell me something about Ray Lewis that we don't know. He says, well, I never had to worry about the defense. Ray had it. And I was thinking, boy, I tell you what, that's powerful. Like, regardless, Ray had it taken care of. I don't know who we have on our team able to take care of a locker room or pull somebody aside. We had so many of those back in the day when Bucks were great. I don't know who has that pedigree. We don't have a lot of winners on our football team. Look up and down on both sides of our football, and then look and see how many people have really... I'm trying to think of players that really have played a lot of playoff games. I know DeSean Jackson has played in a few. On the offensive line, nope. Tight end, nope. Quarterback, nope. Running back, nope. You go to our defensive side of the ball, I think Chris Baker, couldn't have played much in Washington. Other than that, Brett Grimes, maybe a couple. But as a whole, we don't have a lot of people that have excelled late in football seasons. And that's what it looks like right now, because I saw some guys yesterday lollygagging, and they've packed their bags. And it's disgusting, because I played a lot of football games in my career. I played a lot of, when people say meaningless football games, I'm doing air quotes, meaningless. There ain't nothing meaningless about playing in the NFL, nothing. If you get on that football field, somebody's going to watch that film. It ain't meaningless. That game, the game that they play next week on Monday night, which is ironically going to be John Gruden night, and everybody's going to be chanting, bring back Gruden, and Cutter's going to be sitting there like a horse's ass. I mean, let me tell you guys something, okay? John Gruden ain't coming back here. The Glazers, that's the last thing the Glazers want to deal with, is John Gruden's stupid ass, okay? No, they don't want to deal with that guy again. Nobody really wants to look closely at John Gruden. First of all, his name comes up with every single job opening, period. But have you ever heard the actual team say we want John Gruden? You ever heard a team say we're going after John Gruden? Or is it John Gruden's people out there, or is it just the press? I want you to think for a second about John Gruden. John Gruden got traded from the Oakland Raiders. Traded. In the history of the NFL, I do not know if I've ever remembered a coach being traded before. I think that's the only one. Think about this. The Oakland Raiders went to the Super Bowl the next year against John Gruden. So they were good enough to go to the Super Bowl, and they traded their coach. That should tell you something about his demeanor and how he was loved there. Okay? He comes to the Bucs. He wins a Super Bowl with a team that was ready to win a Super Bowl. It was his Super Bowl, yes. But that team was ready to win a Super Bowl with a little help on offense, and that's what he brought. He wins a Super Bowl. Just a few years later, he gets fired for being 9-7, I believe it was. That's not for coaching ability. He can coach. They didn't want to deal with a stupid ass anymore. He's tough to deal with. Players didn't deal with him well. He had Rich McKay fired. He sent Keyshawn Johnson home. The players that played for him couldn't stand his ass. Trust me. Because I'm telling you, my sources are real good. My sources are in my phone. I'm not I've been in the press for a long time. I ain't the press. When I'm talking to somebody, we're talking as former players. So nobody's going to hold back talking to me. A lot of players are not going to say a whole lot in the press, but they're going to say it to me. I went through it. And nobody wants to deal with that dude again. Nobody. Another source of One Buck Play says he's the biggest a-hole to have ever been through that building. And there's been some a-holes. If you're a bigger a-hole than Ray Perkins, you're trying really hard to be an a-hole. Because Ray Perkins was an a-hole. I'm not a real pull-the-trigger, fire-coach guy. You have to take a step back. If you fire the coach, you got to take a step back. But something in the equation is wrong. Something in the equation is wrong. Either Jason Light or Dirk Cutter are going to be gone at the end of this year. I'm almost positive about that. Almost positive, if not both. Is that going to make us better? I'm not sure. I'm not a huge fan of change. People being familiar with systems is important. A lot of these guys that excelled, you know, Tom Brady's, these guys have been one team forever. Even Eli Manning, these guys have run the same damn system. They could coach that. It's not going to be good for Jameis Winston to keep on bringing a new offensive coordinator in here. It's not going to be good. Now, if in a perfect world for me, I mean, you bring Dirk Cutter back, you bring in an offensive coordinator, let Dirk do his thing. Because I don't know if he has enough savvy and moxie to do it all. And right now he's trying to do it all. And, you know, I don't know if Jason Light falls on it. But somebody's going to fall on it, that's for sure. You know, everybody keeps on going back to Aguayo and the second round pick. Was it a stupid pick? Hell yeah, it was a stupid pick. But that's just one of those picks that's always going to be over his head. When he made that pick, he had to think to himself, boy, I better not be wrong. And he was wrong. Especially when you don't have anybody on your team that can rush the passer. And you're going to pick a kicker in the second round and cut him the next year. Yeesh. That's a huge, huge mistake. So where do we go from here? It's not that far to go. I mean, we're in the doldrums. I don't think we're going to win another game this year. There's three games left against three teams that are better than us. I just hope the guys have enough to fight. And I'm watching some people out there. First of all, there's a lack of ability. I think offensively, they're still fighting. I just don't know if they're that talented. Defensively, I see some guys fighting, and I see some guys, more so the guy higher paid guys, laying down a little bit, and that's a shame because regardless of what your record is, those should be the leaders. That should be the leaders pumping everybody else up out there, and I'm not seeing that. So I don't know. I don't know if it gets better. It can't get any better. I mean, do we want them as fans to win the next three games? I don't know if it does any good. I'd like to see them go out and fight and attempt it. They ain't winning the next three games. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. They've only won four damn games all year long. They're definitely not winning the next three games. That is for sure. Wait till you see the line when they play the Saints and all. Yeah, it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. I still find myself excited to go watch Buck football, but it's not that entertaining this year, unfortunately. And when the second they got DeSean Jackson, I was so damn happy. That was the one guy with Calais Campbell we didn't get that I wanted. And I go, that's going to change the whole dimension of this team. And it hasn't. It hasn't. And it's not his fault. I'm not there watching film, but God dang, he looks open a whole lot. He looks open a whole lot, and we're not taking advantage of that. So we'll see. If there's a real issue with Cutter and Jameis, we're going to know here real soon in 3 weeks because something's going to go down, that's for sure. If you guys want to contact me, you can contact me at Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. If you guys want to just ask me any questions, you want to follow me on social media, it's at Ian Beckles. I have a big shindig going on next Saturday at Elmer's, south of MacDill. Having a dignitary Christmas party, and I'm going to be DJing. I know my boy DJ Don Pablo is going to be there as well. So next Saturday, December 23rd, 8 to midnight, I would get there early. I know Mike Calta is going to be there, and Drew Garabo is going to be there, a bunch of people from The Bone. And I'm predicting it's going to be a madhouse. So I'm excited to play all kind of crazy hip-hop that you won't be able to play anywhere else. If you don't like vulgar music, don't come. Because there's going to be some NWA and Akineli and stuff that you probably don't want your mama to listen to. So December 23rd at Elmer's, 8 to midnight. That's going to be the Dignitary Christmas Party. Hope to see you there. I appreciate you guys listening to In the Trenches. I wish the Bucks were 9-4 and not 4-9, but what I wish for doesn't really matter because I can't play anymore. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxidine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penzer. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.